Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. If you follow us out online, we hope that you set a spot on your radio dial for us as you drive around the Beltway. You can always listen live from anywhere in the world at BaltimorePositive.com as well. I'm getting out into the world. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday at Reader's Crab House in Reisterstown. I will have the Back to the Future scratch-offs to give away. I will also be joined by a litany of fun guests, including this guy, Luke Jones, going to join us on Thursday, along with Alan McCallum. So it's going to be a rare emergency last place huddle for the All-Star break and certainly the trading deadline for the Orioles. Izzy Patoka, councilman, is going to be joining us out in Reisterstown and talking about the future of the county. We had Councilman Julian Jones last week. We have former county executive Johnny O. Week after next, we're going to be at Costas and Timonium on the 10th. And on the 8th, we're doing something really special in the morning. We're going to be at Deep Pasquale's. I have confirmations from Dan Rodericks, from Pete Carinci, from Joe Giordano, award-winning photojournalist. So I'm really looking forward to the show, as well as Joe and Dom and Darren and all of my Italiano friends from Highland Town, or Holland Town, as we would say around here. This guy's people were from, as my mother would say, Essex. I'll get you down to Pizza John's. By the way, there's a Pizza John's coming in August for you, Luke. I did it on a day when you can make it. You're absolved from Oriole Park duty. And by the time we get to late August, I would think that this has been quite a show, and I'll just say this after the loss on Tuesday night. I wrote you a late night text and said they do piss games away in creatively interesting ways, and Tuesday night was no exception.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a game that the Orioles trailed going into the seventh inning. Didn't have a hit going into the bottom of
Yeah,
the
but they're
seventh
getting
inning.
no hit for the second time in 4 days. So
Yeah,
yes, not good.
and you think about how exciting that seventh inning was. Gary Sanchez hits a three-run homer. Urias goes back to back with him, and then you get a third straight home run from Ryan O'Hearn. First time the Orioles had gone back to back to back since 2017. It was Jonathan Scope, Chris Davis, and Trey Mancini. So it gives you an idea of how long it had been since they had done that. And at that point, they're leading 5-4, and you're thinking, wow, you get six outs here, and this is your biggest win of the year. And it's the kind of win that, frankly, you need more wins like that if you're going to try to climb back into it. And instead, they quickly give up the lead in the eighth inning with Soto, and then they lose in 10 innings. It's the kind of game that it hurts either way, because you have a comeback and you do something that you think you're in position to steal a ball game, and then you lose it. And as I replied to you, as you mentioned our text late post game text message, as I replied to you, I mean, you kind of look at where the Orioles are now, and we've all talked about this, right? They've played better over the last month. We all can acknowledge that. But it's now been since June 5th. That's when their six-game winning streak concluded. At that point, they were 25-36. In the 18 games since then, they've gone 9-9. They haven't made any more ground up in terms of getting closer to 500. And you think about that 9-9 stretch. You had that Oakland series they lost. Obviously, the game last week against Tampa, where they were up 8-0 and they blew that. They had a game on Sunday at Yankee Stadium where they led until the eighth inning. And then you have what happened on Tuesday night. I mean, I just cited three or four winnable games right there over that stretch that, you know, the difference could be that you go 11-7 over that 18-game stretch, and suddenly you're talking about being five or six games under 500 as opposed to 11, which is where they've been now for the better part of 3 weeks. So it's just the kind of game that, you got to win. When you do something like they did in the bottom of the seventh inning, you've got to hold on and win there. And they didn't do it. And, the bullpen faltered and they didn't do anything else offensively. The defense was not good throughout the night. I mean, plays at the plate. I mean, you got to make one of those plays, right? Whether it's Gary Sanchez, you got to get a tag down, or Gunnar Henderson make a better throw. They don't do enough things well. And as I said to you, yeah, they're better. But since that winning streak, since what? They won 9 of 11. They've kind of settled into being the profile of a 500 team since then. Not horrible, not what they were in May, to bury themselves the way that they did, but certainly not playing at a high enough level to think that they're going to go on this stretch. And I kind of laughed to myself as I was thinking about this. What the way we react, it's like you're trying to talk yourself into them being able to do this after a win, but then they immediately go out the next night and they lose, or they drop two of three, or something along those lines. It's just not consistent enough. They're just not good enough in any one phase of the game. It's better than it was in mid-May. It couldn't have been any worse. I mean, Brandon Hyde can attest to that. He's no longer the manager because of how awful it was at that point. But it's just, they just don't do anything well enough to really string together the kind of stretch that they need here. And it's resulted in just being middling. So since the bottom fell out in mid-May, they had their nice little run, and they've settled into being a very middling, mediocre 500 kind of profile. And you said it, when they pitch well, they've got a shot to win. When they don't pitch particularly well, they have no shot. Charlie Morton wasn't awful on Tuesday night. There was traffic on the bases, and like I said, I think the defense let them down as much as anything in that three-run fourth inning. But they didn't swing the bats. They let a guy who, God bless him, Jacob Latz, did pitch well, but that was his third career start. This has been a bullpen guy until very recently. He pitched in bulk his last time out for the Rangers. You've got to do better than that. And they did for one inning, but the rest of the night it wasn't good enough, and they come away with another loss, and they're back to 11 games under 500.
Well, you don't have Rutschman, so this is much like not having Westberg or not having Couser. You're playing with Dylan Carlson. You're just doing, you're doing things differently. Obviously, they don't have Tyler O'Neill. They don't have Ryan Mountcastle. They don't have guys. So, I mean, I looked up in the eighth inning and said, "Who's the guy playing third base? Who's that guy?" But Gary Sanchez is a guy they gave a lot of money to, and now kind of has to be the guy for a little bit. Boy, it's just what a poor receiver to some. You know what I mean? Like, just I ball going through his legs, and I'll tell you what, nothing pisses Palmer off more than when a pitcher can't hold a runner. I mean, Palmer was a Gold Glover. He was, probably why he would have been a terrible pitching coach, because he was so much more skilled and so much more intellectual than all of them. It's probably why he doesn't get along with anybody inside of this ownership or these people, because he's so much more intellectual about baseball than any of these people can be. And I sense his frustration on nights he's watching it now, because he's getting older. You think we're tired of them not winning since 1983? He's tired of them not winning since 1983. And quite frankly, I get fed up with really tired baseball and bad baseball. And I'm really privately, I had Pete Williams on this week, and I'm like, this is getting old for me to do this for a living. You know this. It's weighing on me. It weighs on my mental health to think, like, why am I giving them 6 days a week, a half of the year? And like, what joy does this bring me? And I really feel like I sense that in Palmer to some degree, that his disgust at all of it. Fired managers, last place again, new owner who's clueless, who's made a bobblehead of himself, and has disappeared. I mean, it's a tired act, and I just feel like with Palmer, like, he's tired of it, and he's a little mouthy about it, and I like that, but I don't know that's probably why they cut his games, because they don't want him losing his mind when a pitcher can't hold a runner on when you've already got somebody on second base in the 10th inning and you're a professional. You know what I mean? Like, this team has played sloppy baseball. Like, from spring training out, it got their manager fired. They're still losing games because of their own sloppiness, including an $8.5 million catcher that can't keep the ball in front of them, and pitchers that don't know where the ball's going. And yeah, I don't know. I it's just, it's demoralizing. All of it, the totality of all of it's really demoralizing.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I mean, has it have as I said, they played better over the last month. I mean, a month ago, remember the line I kept using to you was this team exudes no redeemable qualities whatsoever. They've gotten to the point where they're not that bad, but it's still not very good, right? It still leaves so much to be desired in so many different phases. I mean, The defense, obviously the pitching, the offense has underperformed, even acknowledging the injuries, even understanding they're not at full strength right now. You mentioned Rutschman not being there. Gary Sanchez hit a three-run homer. I mean, his bat hasn't been the problem. Seeing him behind the plate, when he can't get a tag down or he can't block a ball, that's very disappointing, right? It's probably why he's a backup catcher at this point in his career, right? Not so much that he can't hit, but when you're not a good receiver, I mean, the bat has to be special then. And his bat's not special, even though he's hit some home runs since coming off the IL,
I just want him to look capable. I mean, as a home run hitter, fine. But I mean,
sure.
just when there's a one run game, you need to hold runners on. Guys on first base, runner, pitchers stink at holding runners on.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk a guy on four pitches to start an inning, and next thing you know, he's on third base. I mean,
Right.
it's just shitty. It's terrible. It's you can't win like this. You know what I mean?
Well,
Unless you're going to score 12 runs a night, you can't win like this.
and that's the thing. I mean, their offense has been nearly as disappointing as their pitching. But I mean, it's not just Gary Sanchez, though. I mean, Gunnar Henderson made a bad throw to the plate. I mean, they're not very good defensively. I mean, they're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball, too. They have a couple exceptions in terms of good defenders. Like Ramon Laureano's a heck of an outfielder, right? I mean, we've seen him with multiple outfield assists. Cedric Mullins can go get it in center field. Not here recently because he's made a couple substandard throws. He didn't play on Tuesday night. Couser, I think, is a plus defender overall. But you look at them across the board, it's just not a very good defensive club. This wasn't me being using hyperbole a month ago when I would say about them having no redeeming qualities as far as how they play the game as a team. They haven't been good in any one phase of the game. They've had stretches, like for example, Tuesday night notwithstanding, their bullpen over the last month has been much better than it had been. Their rotation had a 2.5 week run where it was much better. That was part of what kickstarted their winning streak and playing better. But that's regressed since then. I mean, they're pushing back Sagano. We're going to see Brandon Young make a start on Wednesday, which. Well, I have no problem pushing back Sagano a couple of days, but he's trending in the wrong direction. Eflin's been terrible his last couple times out. Cade Povich is on the IL. Look, Bradish and all those guys, that they're throwing bullpens and doing that kind of stuff, but their returns aren't imminent. So the rotation is what it is right now. The bullpen has been, like I said, the bullpen over the last 3, 4 weeks mostly has been good, but it's also had some games where they haven't been able to protect a lead, right? I mean, we saw what happened in the eighth inning at Yankee Stadium on Sunday, saw what happened Tuesday night. I mean, it's just not just, to your point, and regardless of, Jim Palmer's an example that everyone hears, I think he's everyone watching this team. I mean, that's why I said, even since that six game winning streak,
42 years. I mean, it's been 42
I mean,
years.
I know.
You know, I mean, but for
I'm
Jim
trying to keep
Ballmer and
it.
for me and for everyone older than me watching this, it's just
But you know what? You know what I would say to you? At least you saw the glory days. I mean, seriously, I say it facetiously, and I'm trying to keep the focus on the here and now because there aren't many days left where we're probably going to be even talking in this context. It's going to be who are they trading away at the deadline? Who are they calling up in August, right? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, opening day right now is September 7th for the Ravens, and we're still talking about the Orioles for 5 minutes. But once the trading deadline hits, opening day becomes next March
yeah,
for
because
them.
you're going to have it. Training camp starts, I think the first full squad workout is
Well,
July
nothing they do
23rd.
after August 1st is going to matter other than who's going to pitch on opening day next year.
Oh, and
Literally, who's going to be in the lineup next year? And I can tell you right now, Rutschman, Henderson, Couser, yeah, we can go through. They have all of these young players, Holiday, Mayo, they're all going to be on the roster. You can send their luggage down to Sarasota right now. They're going to be there on Valentine's Day. And that we're now getting to the point where that's the next thing that's going to matter for them.
yeah, well, I mean, I think there's clearly some interest in Samuel Basayo. I mean, I saw a few people mention it on social media. Can he really be any worse than Gary Sanchez behind the plate
Good point.
defensively? Let me be clear. I've said all along, I'm not sitting here and arguing that he shouldn't be here right now. I just think strictly looking at what his offensive numbers are at AAA doesn't give us a full complete picture as far as where he is as a catcher right now of whether you want him here. But like I just said, I mean, Gary Sanchez isn't getting it. I mean, they actually just signed Jacob Stallings to a minor league deal. He'd been with the Pirates for a number of years here recently. He's more of a defensive backstop. Might be an upgrade over Chadwick Tromper or Maverick Hanley. But yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about at this point. And like I said, this team, it was roughly 3 weeks ago, they got back to 11 under 500. And don't get me wrong, I understand you can't win every single night. I understand it's baseball, but they've now let three weeks drain off the calendar, and they're still 11 games under 500. I mean, they haven't gained any ground over the last 3 weeks or so, and they've had opportunities. Again, you can go and point out at least three or four games that they lost over that stretch that could have been wins, and then we're having a different conversation. Then we're talking about them maybe being only 6 or 7 games under 500 right now, as opposed to where they are, which is, still 11 under. And, you've got a chance, you do have a chance to win this series. You do that, that's great. But then you have five more series after that. And, you need to win all those series, right? I mean, that if you're not going to go on a long win 10 of 11, win 13 of 15 kind of stretch, then you've got to win every single series and win two out of three. And they don't profile consistently enough to expect that they're going to do that, right? Again, they're playing better, but their better has been more of a middling 500-ish kind of profile over the last 3 weeks, right? I mean, it's not that they won six in a row and then they won 9 of 10 right after that, right? And then they won four in a row after that, right? I mean, it's been, you win a game, you lose a game. You win two games, you lose two games. You win a game, you lose two games, right? I mean, it hasn't been something that they've been able to gain any traction after that winning streak. So, it's where it is. The injuries are still a factor. It does sound like Westberg's going to be back, right? I mean, it sounded like he had a chance to play Tuesday, but sounds like we'll either see him, for the finale, or we'll definitely see him Friday after the off day. So they at least avoided, a more serious injury with him on this occasion. But to your point, you don't have Rutschman. Tyler O'Neill has restarted his rehab assignment. We're going to see how that goes. Mateo's starting a rehab assignment, even though I don't really have a whole lot of interest in seeing Jorge Mateo play at this point. But, it's just, they're just not good enough. I mean, they don't do anything well enough to really sit here with any real conviction on my part to think that they're going to reel off the kind of stretch of great baseball. They have to play great baseball, fantastic baseball.
That means they need great pitching and they're incapable
Well,
of that.
they don't do anything great. I mean, I agree with that.
You said, well, they're one of the worst defensive teams in
But
baseball.
their
You haven't
offense
said that out
stinks.
loud in 3 months, but
Their
that's
offense
true.
stinks too. I mean, all along we wondered about the pitching. So I'll continue to bang on the other stuff not being good enough. Their offense was supposed to be
We're
what
tag
carried
teaming
them.
them. We're like the executioners
I
here.
mean, it's
I
just
beat him up about the pitching. You beat him up about the hitting. We could
their
both beat him up about the
and
defense.
the
That's
defense
more
was a
like the
big.
Moondogs. That's the way Rex the Moondog coming. We need three like Samoans. There needs to be three of us to gang up on him.
I mean, if I had to kind of divvy out the blame for Tuesday night, and again, the pitching wasn't great. I'm not going to sit here and say Charlie Morton was great. He also wasn't a disaster. Like, he wasn't horrendous either, but their
He's been a
defense
really nice
stunk.
fifth starter the last month.
He's been better. Like, he's been really good the last month. I mean, Nestor, you can make an argument he's been their best starting pitcher the last 3 weeks, right? I mean, you could make that
After
argument.
Sagano went down the mountain,
Yeah,
right.
Sagano's been hasn't gotten through 5 innings and 3 straight starts.
They're
Eflin's
pushing
been
him
good.
back now because they're
Yeah.
thinking he's fatigued. He's
Well,
35. He's
there's
older.
that. I
It's
mean, keep in
caught.
mind, keep in mind the Japanese baseball culture is more of a six-man rotation. And they haven't had an off day since what, June 9th, I think it is. So it's been
I did
now.
not know the Japanese culture was a 6 day
Oh yeah,
rotation. I
no,
did not know
yeah.
that.
That's kind of. I mean, I don't want to speak for the
No, but you
entire.
know baseball better than I. That's something that you just educated me on that. I
Yeah,
did not know that.
so that's been a fact. Now, I'll say this in fairness, if you go look at his splits, he's been actually quite good on 4 days rest, but we know there's a cumulative impact there, right? I mean, with any pitcher, you're trying to keep guys healthy. You have enough data now to track velocity, arm angle, all those different things. And it's not like he's been horrible. Eflin's been really bad his last two starts. Sagano's just, it's been much more of a labor, right? It's been very, very much a grind. His command hasn't been as good, hasn't been as sharp. We know he doesn't miss a lot of bats. So if he's not pinpoint with his command, he's going to get knocked around. So he's avoided being awful in those starts, but I mean, he hasn't gotten through five innings. So they're pushing him back a couple days. Mancelino was flat out asked, hey, this isn't an IL or injury or anything like that. He said no. So I think it truly is, hey, let's give him a couple days, give him a chance. Let this heat wave to the extreme that it's been the last couple of nights, let that subside a little bit. It is going to be cooler this weekend, relatively speaking, and get him back on track. But I mean, there's just too much working against this team. And as I said to you on Monday, as we were coming out of the Yankee series, the calendar's working against them at this point. I mean, we're not that far out from the All-Star break, and we're a little over a month away from the trade deadline. I mean, where do they need to be record-wise for anyone to really buy into the idea that it would be a good idea for them to do anything that's only helping them right now, as opposed to, and that's not to say I wouldn't completely eliminate the possibility of being a buyer, but if I'm whatever I'm buying, it needs to be something that's helping me next year, because this year is just about, I mean, it's shot, right? I mean, and we've been saying that since mid-May, and yes, they've played better, but they haven't played well enough. They haven't played great enough to really look at this thing objectively and think that there's any practical chance here. I mean, I get it. The optimists will say, well, look at the Tigers last year. You can't base your strategy on what you're going to do at the trade deadline and how you're going to proceed from a baseball ops standpoint based off what the Tigers did last year. That's an outlier. And that's a great outlier for the Tigers. And look, they took off and they're the best team in the American League now. Good for them. But you can't just point to the Tigers or any isolated example here or there of teams being 10 games under 500, or I don't know, six games under 500 at the All-Star break if they manage to do that, and think that that's a good idea. I think you need to look at this in terms of you're selling off your expiring contracts that can actually get you something, and or you're talking about any of those guys. If you want them back for 2026, you should be talking extension right now then. But otherwise, you're looking for what can you do, what moves can you make. Who can you clear out of the way to try to recalibrate yourself for next year, right? I mean, this isn't a full-blown tear-down rebuild like they were 7 years ago, but
Who's going to
clearly.
pitch next year? That's the question for me, because
Sure.
I know who's going to be in the lineup.
Sure. Well, but I would even say at that point, do we know that we know everyone that's going to be in the lineup next year? Or do they need to go get a more established veteran bat? And not Tyler O'Neill, obviously. I don't know. But your overall point, I agree with. Yeah. I mean, we got to look at that and figure out, yeah, who is going to start games for this team next year. And it can't all just be on Bradish and Rodriguez and Tyler Wells. You can certainly put them in the conversation with the entire group, but
Yeah, you better have a better plan than
yeah,
that.
you can't
Yeah.
look at Kyle Brad. I'm totally fine with saying Kyle Bradish is in my rotation next year. I'm fine with that. You can't look at it through the lens of he's my ace, right? You can't look at him as the number one. You've got to look at him as, hey, if he's his old self, then maybe he is, but I need to have someone else that profiles as, and I don't even get so caught up into the number one, number two kind of starter. We've seen teams. I mean, the Rangers won the World Series a couple years ago. They didn't have a bona fide Corbin Burns-like ace. They did. It was Jacob deGrom, and you know what? He was on the IL because he had Tommy John surgery. But they clearly need more with their rotation. The bullpen is going to be another factor because of expiring contracts. I mean, the interesting. I'm not saying I'm for or against this, but. One of the more fascinating assets that they have, if some team wanted to absolutely blow them away, I mean, what would you have to get to potentially trade Felix Batista? I think I don't want to, but teams might offer you the moon for him, the way that he's pitching and trending. I'd rather not, because then that's okay. Who's your closer next year, right? I mean, you just get to a point where there's so many holes, and even if you like,
It's not Yenny or Cano. You know what I mean?
no.
Right?
So,
So, right.
and again, I'm only bringing that up because that's one of the first guys I think teams are going to at least ask. They're going to at least ask and say, what would it take for us to get Yenny
Well,
or
could they
Cano, or
trade
not
Dominguez
Yenny or
and
Cano?
Soto and get a bag of balls the way the Phillies did last year? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of it do you want to give away? What do you value? And to your point, it makes the Couzers and all these guys completely untouchable. But I think if you want to get something real, you're gonna have to dip into trading things you don't want to trade. And that doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily mean Batista, that means young players.
Yeah. And again, I just, for me, with that conversation, I hear you. I also don't know exactly what that's going to look like, right? I mean, whether it's Couser, Kobe Mayo, at this point, I mean, I don't think there's a Bisaio deal to be made. I think Bisaio is going to be on this team next year. And part of that is also, what is Adley Rutschman at this point in time, right? I mean, and I don't mean that in terms of like, oh, he's not a starting caliber player, but all the conversations we were having 12 to 18 months ago about ex I have no interest in extending Adley Rutschman right now, right? I mean, I don't know for any I don't say for any price, but
Dude,
you
I'm not
understand
sure
what I
he's a
mean.
Major League Baseball player over the next 5 years. I don't know that he's not just
I mean,
going to
I
be
wouldn't go
complete
that far,
fizzle.
but he certainly, you hear baseball people talk about guys that are aircraft carriers, right? You thought 2 years ago that Adley Rutschman was that. He certainly hasn't looked like that in over a year or a year now. But that I'm just talking about more specifically with Bisaio there. But yeah, I mean, they've got a. This is where Mike Elias, who we haven't heard from since he spoke to
What a coward that guy's turned out to
handful of
be. What a
reporters.
terrible leader he is. He leads from behind with arrogance. It's weak.
It's
It's really
disappointing.
weak.
I mean, it's disappointing. It
It's as
definitely
weak
is.
as Eric DaCosta going out to doing Casey Cares for 30 people with no cell phones on last week and sitting there with Viviano and doing a fireside chat for charity and never speaking to the real fans. You never taking it on, but just sort of hiding, and you have to pay $1,000 to come hear Eric DaCosta speak. I mean, it's I like Casey. Casey, I like you. I want to support charity, but that's some weak shit, Eric DaCosta. And if anybody sees me, tell them I'm looking for you. Because like these guys who lead or making millions of dollars a year who make these decisions, they don't need to be out in front of it 7 days a week like the manager or the head coach. But the part where they're cowards, you saw Eric DaCosta be an ultimate coward in my space a year ago, running from me. I just leadership of these two teams. Leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to front facing, when it comes to accountability. By the way, I'm still waiting on that investigation about the kicker. Have we looked into that? Is that happening yet? I mean, this is where things just go away, and it's like nobody's asking about Mike Elias. The team's in last place. We're asking about Mike Elias every day. Like we're asking, what are you thinking? What's going on? What's the temperature? Fans are buying tickets. Some of them are. Although, and the other thing is just how bad this has been, how empty the stadium is, how hot it's been. It's
Oh,
just
I mean, yeah,
all of
no.
it's just the empty sound of the stadium. Even on, I listened for a couple innings. I was in my
Well, I
car.
mean, the last 2 nights are a bad
It's
example of that,
100
though.
degrees. It's
Yeah,
terrible.
yeah. I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
but general when the
But if you had
temperature,
27,000 seats sold ahead of time, there'd be some people there.
yeah,
There's
but
no walk up because there's no presale.
well, I mean, there's six. I think they announced 16,000 on Tuesday night, and I mean, they do have ticket. I'm guessing there are. Probably were at least a few people who had tickets for the game, and they can exchange it. Not and
Well,
obviously,
they love to do these headlines with the Baltimore Business Journal. I saw Mark Fine as Johnny Bravo and himself as the guy who's here to save the Orioles while taking my press credential. The notion that they're going to save the franchise and that they're doing stuff, the headlines are now attendance is down XX percent, right? I
course, it
mean,
is.
attendance is down, way
No one wants to
down
come watch this
after
team right
two
now.
playoff years and a new ownership that sold itself. We're not Peter. We might be worse because you're giving us more credit than we deserve by a lot. I gave them a lot of credit last opening day, thinking, man, they're really on to something here. And I had tears in my eyes on the club level with that clown, that Whistler clown, thinking like, They're going to fix this. This is good. This can be great again. I'm going to get my Oriole stuff out. I'm going to be proud to be an Oriole fan, proud to be a Baltimore sports media member, proud of my 40-year legacy of covering this baseball team, proud of doing Free the Birds so that at some point, 20 years, it's been 19 years since I did Free the Birds. And I do wake up at this point wondering what the hell I'm doing watching this baseball team, what the hell anybody else is doing watching this. And it's sad. It's sad. I don't know, because I felt such potential the last 2 years. They put the hook in my mouth as an Aparicio and a baseball fan and said, "Hey, this is the resurrection. We're coming back." No, they're not. They're not coming back in any way. And this is where I get salty about Elias being a coward and hiding and, three-day fires the manager and hides in Milwaukee. What kind of leadership is that? That's dog shit. I mean, in any walk in life, terrible, especially if you're making $1 million a year. Terrible. So I'll leave. And his decision making has been whatever you think it is. I mean, we can be more fair in one way or another. But when you're 1-1, it's not hard to pick Jackson Holliday. You know what I mean? Or Bobby Witt or whatever. By the way, Holliday, we talked a lot about him after the Monday game and the home runs. Of the we haven't compared him to Bobby Witt yet, have we? But,
Wait,
he might.
Holiday and Bobby Witt.
No, I'm just saying, like the kind of player,
Oh,
that he's going to be a
I mean,
generational. He's moving more toward. Hey, they took the right guy, not the wrong guy in Rutschman that we look at, right?
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Jackson Holliday is one of the few guys that on this team right now where you say, "Hey, arrow's pointing up." He's getting better and better. I mean, go look at his splits. He's been as good against lefties as right-handed
Well,
pitching.
somebody's
I
got to
mean,
be
that's.
Bobby Witt here if it's going to save him. I
Yeah.
mean, you threw a bone to Machado as the generational player, and I'm not going to argue that, but he's so forgettable to me. You know what I mean? Just in a general, he was a great tool player for 4 years. And
Think you're really underselling him. Manny Machado's going to the Hall of Fame, man. Go look at his numbers. He's absolutely a Hall of Famer at this point in time. I mean, you're underselling that.
he was never here to stay. He was always a bit of a rental.
Okay, but
We
that has
never.
nothing to do with what kind of player he is.
Fair enough.
He was a great player. I mean, he's easily the best player they had on the field since Cal Ripken. And I say that with great affinity for Adam Jones and Nick Markakis and guys who had whole of very good kind of careers, longevity. But I mean, Machado is, the Orioles would love if Jackson Holliday can be anything close to what Manny Machado still is, quite frankly. I mean, still doing it at a high level. Well into his 30s now. So, but yeah, I mean, it's Jackson Holliday trending in a great direction overall. Gunnar Henderson hasn't been awful this year, but he hasn't been an MVP kind of guy. Go down the list. I mean, Heston Kjerstad's back in the minor leagues. Coby Mayo is what he is right now, right? I mean, I want to see him play, but I'm not convinced that that means he's going to be a dude for you.
Well, that speaks to draft and development. Did we get the right guy and did we develop him the right way?
Well, I mean, in some cases, I mean, and Coby Mayo's, wasn't a first, wasn't a top five pick. I don't really have my issue isn't with how they've drafted those specific guys. I think you would even find in some of these drafts, you're kind of looking at some of the alternatives and you'd say, okay, that they didn't even necessarily pick the wrong guy. Rutschman compared to Bobby Witt, fine, right? I mean, I think the ship has sailed on that. At the same time, you make the decision that's there at that point in time. And Bobby Witt was what, 17 or 18 years old at that point. Adley Rutschman was a Golden Spikes guy that had led his team to the College World Series, right? So I look at that and I can understand it, right? I mean, the problem isn't that that Bobby Witt has become the better player. The problem is that Adley Rutschman has regressed to the degree and extent that he has over the last year. Even a year ago, even 2 years ago, you would have said, yeah, Bobby Witt would have been the better choice if we're using hindsight.
I just wanted to
But
be Matt Wieters at this point.
sure. I mean,
Just hit 260 and hit 15 home runs and play good backstop and be that rah-rah guy. And I mean, at one point you called it, what'd you call it? Fake energy. What you had a word for it,
I mean, I don't know. I'm not dwelling on that so much. I mean, just the reality of his first couple years, 2 years in, he was better than Matt Wieters ever was. And over the last calendar year, he's and I don't want to pick on him too much. He's on the IL right now, but he's not available at this point in time. So that hurts you. But over the last calendar year, he's become something that's worse than what Matt Wieters was over the duration of his time with the Orioles. So, you know, it
Well,
there's
somebody
just
better be Bobby Witt when you've been in last place for a decade and you're picking 1-1, 1-4, 1-5, you know, whatever it is. Like, some of these guys have to be superstars on your watch, not
yeah.
Colton Cowser. No offense, he's never going to be great, in my opinion. I've watched it for 2 years. I think
Signed. I've
he'll
never
be
said that he's
fine.
going to be great
Yeah,
necessarily.
right. But I mean, you talk
And
about Machado, how great he and I'll apologize to Machado on that, but I never liked the player. I never liked. I just didn't, and I never liked any of the energy that they weren't going to sign him and all that. We're at the point now where we've
but
got
that part
four or
of it was
five of
on the
these guys.
Orioles.
Well, of course, and well,
I mean, you know, I'm not saying he definitely would have signed, but you've got to have real meaningful conversations for that to ever possibly
he was
happen.
also a rockhead, so you know there was starting fights and just doing immature stuff. So, and that's part of being
I
young.
would have
We're all
gladly had him on my team the last decade, but I hear you.
at 40 million a year.
I mean,
Would they have won anything if they had? He's not a winner. He
well,
ain't won nothing. You know what I mean? Like
when
it
they
that,
when
but
they
that
get
San Diego thing's all put. I love the Padres. I wore my
talking.
Tony Gwynn
I'm
jersey the other
talking
day.
about it in a vacuum, though. I mean,
Just the player, the
yeah.
stats. Okay, but
I mean,
hey, we're not even here to talk about him. I'm talking about these guys here.
but you're acting
Somebody
like he's
better
a
be as good
middling
as him.
player.
Somebody better be as good as him. One of these guys better be as good as him. They better need to sign one of these
I
guys.
think
And
that's a
I think
very.
Holiday, right? This week we're talking about Holiday. Last year it was Henderson. 2 years ago it was Rutschman. We can all see how. Dude, I wanted to give Jonathan Scope $100 million. I'm an idiot, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying my opinion's the only one. I'm just saying, in the totality, somebody better do it. Somebody better be that guy, and they better figure out who it is. And this is the kind of summer where, like, you're in last place.
Yeah.
This is a summer for there's no pressure. You know, they're going to play baseball in August and September. Hit 350 in August for a month.
Yeah.
Show me that you're emerging. Give me something to talk about in November, December, and January that makes me excited about March and April next year.
Yeah.
Because that's really what we're going to be. We're going to be into that conversation in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I hear you. See, for me, I need better across the board. I need from the collective young core. And that doesn't mean they're all MVP candidates. And that was never going to be the case. Let's be clear about that. I understand the point you're making, but it needs to be more than that, right? It needs to be that someone emerges to be that. Sure, I'll agree with you on that. You know, I don't know if you can expect any of them to be Hall of Famers like Manny Machado, but it's got to be multiple guys that are looking like, hey, they're perennial all-star caliber kind of players. That's why Mancini's quote about Holiday was so interesting the other night. He said, I'm not really so worried about him making the All-Star team this year. I understand it's important to him. It's important to me. Don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for him to make it, and that would be cool for a 21-year-old. But he said, I'm flat out looking at this like, what can I do? What can the coaching staff do over these next 2 years to get him to be one of the five best players in baseball by 2027? Right? I mean, you know, and that's only a couple years away. You know, I thought that was a really interesting thing that on one hand, you could say, wow, you're putting a lot of pressure on the guy. On the other hand, it speaks to what kind of pedigree he has, you know, his bloodline with his father and being growing up around the game and the guy that he's already, the player he's already become at age 21 when so many guys are at double A. So, you know what? Holiday's pointing in the right direction,
I
but
thought
yeah.
about him this morning for some weird reason because I knew we were going to talk about it. I'm thinking, Stad's got $200 million in the bank. He grew up in a mansion. He grew up in a different way. He just wants to play baseball. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, and that's a different thing than Manny Machado, growing up in the hood and trying to make money and getting a signing bonus and all that. Even for Rutschman and these other guys, that Gunnar Henderson being a 19-year-old kid from Alabama, I don't know much about their families or their wealth or
Yeah.
whatever. I know Holiday's story, and I know when Daddy made $200 million, it would change who you and I are fundamentally In a lot of ways, if Daddy had $200 million, like literally, I've seen this through athletes.
I just
I'm friends with Mark Messina. His brother's got $200 million. Like I know what all of that is and how it changes comfort levels for people. Jackson Holliday doesn't think about anything but baseball. He's married. He seems like a nice kid. He looks like he doesn't shave yet. He looks like a little leaguer out there running around. He looks like there's some joy of the game for him because there isn't any pressure for him to make $400 million to feed his family because he's having a great life. All he needs to do is stay healthy and hit the ball, and he's going to have a wonderful walk in life at this point because of what his father did, because of what his family represents. But that doesn't, same thing with Bobby Witt, whose father didn't make as much as Matt Holliday did. But just sort of like, by the way, I want to point this out before we take a break because we're going to take a break. David Segee, who is a longtime friend of mine, I've known David 30 years, two-time Oriole draft pick, the whole deal. Lost his father in Diego Segee too, so another major leaguer. Man, my cousin's the oldest living Hall of Famer. Had a chat with Pete Williams, my baseball historian. We're going out of Tampa this weekend, and we're not going to that Tampa. I'm bringing Tampa guests in. Rick Vaughn will be here too. And just, the legacy of a guy like Holliday, when I see him run around, it's a different kind of want. It's a different kind of thing when you're just there for the love of the game. You're just polishing your craft. You're not like, oh my God, Rutschman's like, I thought I was going to make 200 million. I might only make 15. You know what I mean? If I don't figure this out, I'm going to be Chadwick Trump. And this is a living for these guys. But in Holliday's case, he's on borrowed time. This 21-year-old kid running around. I kind of enjoy that part of it to some degree, and I enjoy watching his dad watch him. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, the financial part's easy to point that out, but he's also been around major league clubhouses his whole life. He's been around good teams. He's been around not so good teams.
Dude, I remember Prince Fielder being a little boy. I remember
You
Tim
can go
Raines' kid,
see
Rock
the
Raines
clips.
Jr. around, Yeah.
You can see the clips of little Jackson Holliday following his dad around during batting practice, things like that.
I
So yeah.
totally remember Prince Fielder sitting in that in the Tigers locker room
Absolutely.
in the mid-90s with his father at Camden Yards. Like I remember
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean it's a cool story, and Jackson Holliday may end up being the best of the bunch, right? I mean it, and that doesn't mean that the others aren't going to be good players or all-stars or things like that, but yeah, just looking at it through the lens of 2025, I mean, he's the one guy that you feel great about out of their young all their other young guys have something. Gunnar Henderson to a lesser extent. But Westberg's got to stay healthy. Rutschman has fallen apart at the plate, right? I mean, he's been better this year, but certainly not where he was the last couple years. And Cowles are still finding consistency. Cobie Mayo trying to find, establish himself. Kerstad's back in the minors. We're waiting on Vasayo at this point, who, again, might have a better bat than any of these guys when it's all said and done. When you
Dude, if
look
we
at what he's
taped this
done,
right
but.
now and we played this back in February as
Oh, it'd
sort
be
of an ahead in
depressing.
time, it's
It'd be really
incredible. It's
depressing.
incredible.
Or forget about that. Forget about February. We played this a year ago at this time. Right around now is when
When I was telling my wife, this is the best team I've ever
they had
seen.
taken two or three from the Yankees, and they had just or two or three from the Phillies in Baltimore for that series that was sold out.
Fleet week, yeah.
And you had taken two or three from the Yankees. I mean, we're just past the 1 year mark of that point where there was very much a strong argument to be made the Orioles were the best team in baseball. And
We
it's
haven't been
just
able to
been,
say that much in our lifetime. Like,
yeah, I mean,
literally. Maybe
a couple,
97, I could give you that. That's about it.
97, 2014, they were in that conversation by the end of the year. But yeah, it not often, not very often. And I'm going to be 42 years old in October. So
Well, it's a
it's
disaster.
just,
I'll just
yeah.
leave it at that. You're going to be at the ballpark, sweating it out. Raising town this weekend. I'm doing some Tampa stuff. I'm catching back up with Rick Vaughn. The highlight of the week was not even Jack Hughes from Wang Chung. The highlight of the week is going to be Fred Lynn. Fantastic Freddie Lynn, number 19. Sweet swinging Freddie going to be on the program this week. So I caught up with him. So I'm looking forward to that. I've been finding some weird guests around here this summer. So I'm going to be reaching to the back of the rack to bring some people on and try to have some fun around here. Now that the Orioles are in last place, and it feels like they're there to stay. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. I can be found anywhere you want to find me. We can be found at Reader's Crab House. I hope I'm saying that right. In Reisterstown on Thursday, we'll be there in the afternoon. Luke and I will be there with Alan McCall. Gallum kind of early, having some crab cakes around 1 o'clock. Also going to be joined by Izzy Patoka. I have some other guests coming over. My pal Happy Eddie from Curio Wellness and from the Real Housewives of the Potomac. I like Eddie. Eddie's fun. Eddie lives here in Baltimore. Eddie's a Baltimore guy. Eddie Acefo. So we're looking forward to talking to him about his cannabis business and just he's a lawyer too. So we got all sorts of things, and he lives in the area. So it's gonna be fun. Thursday, we'll see you there. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Also, our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Curio Wellness, the aforementioned. I'm wearing my Coco's Pub shirt. We're getting back to Coco's. We are doing 27 of my 27 favorite things to eat, literally, in Baltimore during the month of August. It starts on August 3rd, which is our 27th anniversary. I'm threatening a 27th anniversary logo. We'll see about that. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Last place. When did the Ravens start? We're Baltimore Positive.